Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 212 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Very glad to have you on board for this week's episode. Going to be doing a couple of different things on this week's episode, including a rundown of the most recent Stride Pro Wrestling show, Christmas Break, which was an amazing event, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment or two. Also, got some really good questions for the Ask My 1-2-3 Cents segment, so stay tuned for that at the end of the show, and we'll preview next week's show. I want to go back to last week's episode, though, episode 211. My buddy Tom Harness joined me for the Ugly Christmas Suit Guy episode, and we are doing Ugly Christmas Suit fundraiser again this year, and it's still ongoing. And if you are listening to this the week of December 10th on Wednesday, I believe it's the 12th, we are going to be out at SME Burger Joint in Carbondale, Illinois, and they're going to be donating 20% of their proceeds that night. So if you are out and about and in the Southern Illinois area, make your way to SME Burger Joint in Carbondale. It's at University Mall. And when you have dinner between 5 and 8 p.m. that night, a portion of your ticket will go to the Ugly Christmas Suit Guy fundraiser, which we are donating everything. 100% of the profits going to honor wreaths for veterans. In fact, everything just goes directly to them. So if you donate online at uglychristmassuitguys.com, you can make your donation that way as well. I just encourage you, if you make a donation, it's appreciated. But if you donate to Team Kevin, it's even more so appreciated. But, you know, it's not a competition. It really isn't. Although Tom likes to think it is. I'm just doing this to have fun and raise some money. He likes to make it a competition and add a little spice to it. So, but anyway, head on over again, uglychristmassuitguys.com, and you can make your donation there. And if you are doing some last minute Christmas shopping, and I can't guarantee that items from the Pro Wrestling Tee store, prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents, will make it by Christmas, but you can have them for the new year 2019 and wear them proudly. There are two My 1-2-3 Cents designs right now, Merry Scentmas, which is a Christmas shirt, in the design of the Christmas Vacation, or I'm sorry, it's Scentmas Vacation in the design of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And then the original Mondo the Monkey design, which I'll probably be taking that Merry Scentmas one, or Scentmas Vacation. I don't know why I keep saying Merry Scentmas. I'll be taking that one down once we're past the holiday season. So be looking to add some more designs. There's a Stride Pro Wrestling shirt there as well. And of course, the Jittery Monkey podcast has a store as well. Just head on over to jitterymonkey.com. You can get Positive Cynicism gear. You can get your Five Heart podcast gear, as well as Nerds United. And Greg, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, is going to be adding a My 1-2-3 Cents section. I need to get him some things, and we'll get all that up and running this week, hopefully, as well. So I also have, and this is going to be, I guess, the cheap plug segment. So if you're tired of listening to all this, fast forward 45 seconds or a minute, and we'll be done with that. Funko Pops. If you collect Funko Pops, I have an affiliation with the Funko company. So check that out as well. It's all in the write-up of this week's episode. And again, I want to thank everyone for being a part of Stride Pro Wrestling. The fans, the wrestlers, the behind-the-scenes people, there's so much that goes into putting a show together. And it's the work and cooperation of a lot of people, and then a lot of support from the community. There were a lot of fans who crammed into our Stride Pro Wrestling Arena at 1130 North Division Street in Carterville. We appreciate the fandom. We appreciate the support. It was my actual first show in the new facility. I was in Las Vegas last month for the November show and missed it, but it was great to be back in the Stride ring in front of the Stride crowd and hanging out with the guys before and after the show. I miss that camaraderie. So it's always a fun time, to say the very least. And this year, we started the very first ever Stride Pro Wrestling My 1-2-3 Cents Toy Drive for Toys for Tots. 46 toys were actually donated either before or at the show. I want to thank some of my friends who shipped things from out of state, Chad being one of them, Brian Hoovers, who lives in Florida. They both ordered things on Amazon and had them shipped to my house. Thank you so much for that. And I wanted it to be, you know, I ripped the idea off. I say ripped. I'll say I borrowed the idea from Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. They are doing the same thing. They are collecting toys, and then they're matching dollar for the toys that they get. I'm not able to do that, but we did make a small dent in the need here in Southern Illinois. So I wanted to do any kind of toy, but I really was hoping to get wrestling action figures, and most of the items that were donated are wrestling-related toys, so that makes me happy to pass our fandom on and along to others here in Southern Illinois. So between the cash that we received and the toys, I'm going to go shopping and pick up some other figures. We'll have right around or right just over 50 toys that will be going to the Toys for Tots program here in Southern Illinois. And I said first ever, this is going to be a tradition that is going to become a part of Stride Pro Wrestling and My 1-2-3 Cents. So if you're out and about after Christmas and you find some Christmas bargains on wrestling figures, buy them, throw them in your closet, and be sure to send them my way in December 2019. It'll be here before you know it. And we'll start the drive for the 2019 Stride Pro Wrestling My 1-2-3 Cents wrestling action figure toy drive. So again, thank you to those who have supported us throughout the years. And I mentioned the show, which, you know, unfortunately it started off on a bit of a, you know, down note. Aaron Brooks, who was unable to defend the Legacy Championship, was stripped of said title. General Manager Sam Hunter declaring the winner of the main event, which was going to be a fatal four-way, would become the new Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion. And that was setting up because Riser was supposed to be in the match against Aaron Brooks anyway. Riser was automatically named as a contender. The former Legacy Champion, Wraith, was also put in that match. And then the winners of a tag team match between Cash Borden and Jay Spade and Dexter Roswell and Mr. Anthony of the DR Party, those would be the other two contenders that were going to go into that matchup. Now, there has been some tension between Jay Spade and Cash Borden. I missed it at the last show, but there was some miscommunications and a kick that missed, and it was a little bit of hurt feelings and whatnot, but the two agreed that they would team up and do their best to take on members of the DR Party. So the show started off with a tag team title defense as Farmer Billy Hills and Scott Phoenix defended against the Redneck World Order. That's Hollywood Redneck and Cole James. Their third in that team is Bud Galloway, who was the outside guy who tried to run a little bit of interference, but his efforts came up short as Farmer Billy Hills and Scott Phoenix were able to retain the championships. But then they were attacked by the DR Party. Yeah, Mr. Anthony and Dexter Roswell made their presence known, hitting Farmer with the belt. But don't worry, retribution is coming up a little later in the show. A newcomer to Stride Pro Wrestling, the Supreme BT, made his debut against Jose Magnifico, a fan favorite for sure, who came out decked in Christmas gear. Jose was able to get the victory over the newcomer, BT. I mentioned the DR Party and Jay Spade and Cash Borden a minute ago. Well, Cash Borden and Jay Spade were able to pick up the win, sending them to the main event to be the last two competitors in that fatal four-way match. The interesting thing here, Farmer Billy Hills comes back and gets a little retribution and delivers a big scoop power slam and helps Cash Borden and Jay Spade pick up the win. Now, it's been announced already that at the next show on January 5th, Farmer and Phoenix are going to defend the tag team titles against the DR Party. So be looking for that as we get ready for a new year in 2019. At intermission time, we announced the winner of our raffle for the toys that were donated. Everyone who donated a toy, for each toy they donated, they were given a ticket. Brian Hoovers, and I think I'm saying his name right, and if I'm not Brian, I apologize. He won the Stride Pro Wrestling My 1-2-3 Cents prize pack, some DVDs, some other little items from Collar and Elbow, as well as an autographed tie by Dexter Roswell. So we'll be sending that to sunny Florida here this week. So congratulations again to Brian, and thank you to everyone who donated and contributed. Now, after that announcement was made, Brian Richards, who was the muscle of the DR Party, came out and announced he's done with Dexter Roswell, as well as Mr. Anthony, and he is his own man now, has a new look, completely shaved head, completely shaved beard, wearing a singlet, and was ready for action and made an open challenge, to which Jason Tiller, 300 plus pounds of Jason Tiller, the one half of the Midwest Monster Hunters, came out and ran roughshod, though, over Brian Richards and made short work of him, pinning him in the middle of the ring. In a very spectacular, amazing match, one of the best we've seen in Stride this year, Brandon Espinoza battled Joey O'Reilly, and these two put on a clinic, as I mentioned. Brandon visiting down from the St. Louis area. But Brandon Espinoza, Espy, has been around the Midwest and wrestled all over the country, really. And we were honored to have him back in Stride for another match. He's been here a few times before, a frequent guest, but came up short against Joey O'Reilly, the former one half of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions, as O'Reilly was able to beat Espinoza. And fan reaction was great. And even after the show, some of my friends who were there, Tom Harness, and he brought their German exchange student Freya for her very first wrestling match. And they both commented on the athleticism and everything that was kind of displayed in that match. So congrats to Espy and O'Reilly for bringing down the house for sure. Jay Wellington Beauregard came out next with his new protege, Chris Hargis, the Icon. Well, the Icon is now the King, and there's going to be a coronation ceremony held at next month's show on January 5th, and this is amazing. We've got a king now in Stride Pro Wrestling, and Chris Hargis, he, by the way, teamed up with Tony Flood against Heath Hatton, who is the current Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and Axe Allwirt. There was a lot of chicanery, a lot of dirty work going on. A man completely covered head to toe came out in a mask with a lead pipe and hit Hatton in the head with it. And Tony Flood was able to score the pinfall victory there for his team. So next month, it's going to be Tony Flood versus Heath Hatton once again for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight title. And Axe Allwirt will be taking on the King. It's going to be a great night of wrestling action in addition to that tag team title match I mentioned just a few minutes ago with Farmer and Phoenix defending against the DR Party. Now, the main event was next, and it was supposed to be that Fatal 4-Way. Wraith was introduced, Riser was introduced, Jay Spade was introduced, Cash Borden was introduced, but Cash didn't come out. The match went on and as a triple threat match, and then about midway through, that masked man head to toe came back out and just stood very ominously with that lead pipe before entering the ring at the right opportunity, hitting Jay Spade with it, unmasking himself to be Cash Borden. Cash beat the crap. It was definitely, it's a pun or a cliche in pro wrestling. It was season's beatings for sure. It was a Christmas break for Jay Spade. He was broken by the end of the night and pinned. And Cash Borden, now your legacy champion. And not only a new belt, but a new attitude for Cash Borden. Very sadistic. We've seen this side of Cash. Not in Stride Pro Wrestling necessarily, but Cash is one of those guys that wrestles around Illinois specifically, but other parts of the Midwest. And he is, as JR would say, tougher than a $2 steak. And he definitely a guy I would not want to mess with, and when he demanded to be announced as the champion more than once, I was glad to oblige. You know, Cash and I had a bit of a friendship going there when he helped me a few times with Roger Mathis, helped me beat Roger Mathis in that steel cage match, but even leading up before that, there was a bit of a camaraderie between the two of us. This new attitude from him, beating up Jay Spade so violently, so viciously, I think Cash has just been a frustrated individual, and he took that frustration, unfortunately, for Jay Spade out on Jay Spade. So I want to remind you, on Saturday night, January 5th, we're back at the Stride Pro Wrestling Arena in Carterville, 1130 North Division Street. Just head on down Division Street. You'll find us. And on February 2nd, we head to Central School in West Frankfort for a fundraising event up there. That's the other thing about Stride that I love. Fundraisers, they do birthday parties now. So if you want to book your child's birthday party, let us know. Head to the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. You can find it easiest by going just to strideprowrestling.com. It'll redirect you to the page, and you can send a message and have a birthday party. It's $200. You get your guests come in. It's 2 hours. They get to get in the ring and learn some moves, and then there are some matches that are held as well. So be sure to check that out. Again, strideprowrestling.com. Now let's get to the Ask My 123 Cents portion. Several questions, comments came up, and Bill starts us off. Bill Willard, who is someone I know back from high school days, and he is a veteran, and I thank him, and I thank every veteran who has served our country. Thank you for your service. That is why Tom Harness and I, who is also a veteran, are doing the honor wreaths for veterans this year for the Ugly Christmas Suit fundraiser. He asked to take a few minutes to mention the men and women we lost at Pearl Harbor. Of course, December 7th, 1941, it was 77 years ago, pardon me, Pearl Harbor happened, which of course launched us into World War II. So yes, we want to remember the men and women who lost their lives in that battle, and then those who continue to fight for our freedom. Of course, it was just, as I mentioned, 77 years ago this past weekend that we marked the anniversary of Pearl Harbor and the United States' entry into World War II. So, Bill, thank you again for your service as well. T-Dog, Jerry Travelstead, a good friend of the show and of Stride Pro Wrestling, asks, do you think kids today, 7, 8, 9 years old, are mesmerized by WWE as you and I were by the WWF? They are much different products, but kids are much different as well. Oftentimes, the snarky wrestling fan is extremely selfish and self-serving in casting their opinions about the current WWE. But part of me feels like WWE is still connecting with its younger fan base, just like it did 30 years ago. What do you think? Jerry, I wholeheartedly agree with your assessment. I feel like anytime you remember things fondly, you know, you and I and people who grew up in the 80s on the WWF, with the big LJN action figures and the WWF ice cream bars, you know, we're going to remember that time very fondly. No matter how we, you know, the match quality, and obviously there were matches back then that stood out and were head and shoulders above the rest, but there was a lot of crap back then too. And I think every generation wants to peg their generation as the best. And I'm talking pop culture, obviously. So, you know, children of the 80s are going to say that 80s music and 80s movies and 80s wrestling was supreme. In the 90s, it's the same thing. And then the kids today who are watching, who, yes, I do believe that those children are still connecting with the WWE. WWE is a very family-friendly, very family-based product. And if you don't believe me, go to the store and look at all of the... And I know that there are adults that collect the action figures, but there are so many toys and belts and shirts and you name it, and there's all these items out there. So I do think, Jerry, that kids today get it and appreciate it and love it just like you and I did when we were kids. Our little friend Isaac is a classic example of this, who his fandom is is crystal clear. And, you know, that's what I love about it. And that's why I wanted to do the Toy Drive fundraiser or Toy Drive and focus on wrestling action figures to spread the love of pro wrestling, if you will, amongst children in our area. And I've run into families with small children who their kids love wrestling. My kids, my middle son, Mason, who is now a senior in high school, he watched for several years with me. We went to the Royal Rumble in 2012 up in St. Louis. And, you know, he watched many times. My daughter even watched. She's 13 now, but they have both kind of removed themselves from it. They are aware of it, but they're not, you know, their fandom did not stick around. So, I, you know, yes, the short answer is I do believe those fans are still there and they are connecting just like we did when we were young fans. We may not see it today, but yeah, 30 years from now, they will be talking about Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton and Nakamura and AJ Styles and how much they loved those guys. And, you know, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Asuka. It's an amazing time to be a wrestling fan, especially a young wrestling fan, because they are seeing so much talent out there. I do feel like the talent has gotten better through the years. And that kind of transitions into the question by Chad, who asked, do you think a lot of indie promotions using the same talent at the same time is a good thing, especially in this age where you can see every promotion wherever you are? Or would it be better to have a more territorial system where guys work one promotion for 6 to 12 months, then move on to different promotions? It's a good question. And, you know, Chad's right in terms of you may see the same talent on Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling and New Japan and Lucha Underground. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But again, I'm looking at this as a fan who is not watching every promotion every week and keeping up with them. So I feel like from a talent perspective, this is obviously a great time to be a talent because you are dipping into that well and you are getting the exposure from four different companies or five different companies or however many it may be. And you're also getting a piece of that pie. Whereas if you were just focused on being in Lucha Underground for 6 months, and then you moved on to Ring of Honor for 6 months or for a year later or however they were able to stagger it, I don't necessarily think it's a good thing from the talent perspective. From the fan perspective, though, which is what Chad is asking, I could see it becoming a bit repetitive. It depends on who they're pairing them with and what the matches are happening and whatnot. Because I can remember, as Chad mentioned, you know, watching, for example, Mid-South Wrestling 1 week, and then, you know, they would bring the Von Erichs would be there from World Class, or the Junkyard Dog would wrestle on World Class. Andre the Giant had a few matches with World Class. You would see guys going into Central States, or you would see guys wrestling for Memphis and Continental. And I kind of liked that. It was always like a surprise. But again, there was so the exposure to pro wrestling back then was so far and few between. You know, we didn't have the network. We didn't have the internet, obviously, so you couldn't go and watch all these different shows. So there were just a handful of shows that we were able to watch where I was in St. Louis. And so, you know, we didn't get Continental, and we didn't get Memphis Wrestling. We didn't get Florida Championship Wrestling. For a little bit, we got Georgia. But, you know, for most part, it was Wrestling at the Chase. It was World Class. It was Central States for a little bit. And then, of course, AWA, NWA, and WWF is what we watched. But I wouldn't be opposed to going to a more territorial system where it doesn't seem to get as repetitive. But from a talent perspective, a talent's point of view, I could certainly see why they would want to be on more shows for that exposure, for that branding. Because in this day and age, that's what it's all about. It's getting your name out there. It's getting in front of as many eyeballs as possible. It's selling that merchandise on pro wrestling tees. It's selling out those arenas, getting on Chris Jericho's cruise, doing All In, doing StarCast, doing those kinds of events. Because I feel like that indie talent has the ability now to be competitive with WWE in terms of money-making opportunities and possibilities. They won't have the exposure, I don't think, of a WWE. However, the opportunities are out there. And, you know, and I'll throw Impact Wrestling in there as well. I know Impact has had relationships and has worked with other groups as well. And it sometimes I feel like, too, if all of these groups worked even more synergized together to create one big super company, would they be able to compete a little more heartily with the WWE? I don't know. It's one of those things where I think Impact and Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground and New Japan obviously has its whole other beast overseas, but like, do these companies, would they ever come under one umbrella? Like one legitimate umbrella where it would be just named one wrestling company, but it was all that talent and all of those resources. Could you imagine? I mean, but then on the other hand, it's like, well, not everybody's going to wrestle for Impact and not everybody's going to wrestle for Ring of Honor. You know, the talent swaps aren't with every single individual. So there are good and bad sides to that. And I hope that answered your question, Chad, although I feel like I've rambled for several minutes here on this. So on that note, I'm going to wrap things up and let you know next week, the plan is to review a big match from the big card, a big pay-per-view event from the AWA from 1988, 30 years ago. It's hard to believe. It is Super Clash 3. Jerry the King Lawler, Kerry Von Erich in your main event. They were unifying the World Class and AWA Heavyweight Championships. And Bob Schulte, yes, Bob Schulte will be joining me, the greatest wrestling commentator alive, or so he says. This is going to be interesting. I've never talked to Bob other than online. He is a part of the Skullbuster Wrestlecast. He's a frequent guest there. So you can check out those guys, Tom and Jason Skull. So I may blame them for this once it's all said and done. But yeah, Bob's an old school fan like myself and has some very interesting opinions on Jerry Lawler. So I can't wait to break down this event with him. Again, it is Super Clash 3 from December 1988, the 30-year anniversary coming up this week. Hard to believe, but we'll talk all about it. We'll watch it on the network and then kind of go over it. And be sure to ask your questions for Ask My 123 Cents. We'll get those knocked out on next week's show as well. Thanks for watching, everyone. Be sure to have a great week and happy holiday season.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.